Now, more of the Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C. on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C. This half hour is presented by Terrence A. Gross of Gross & Schuster Personal Injury Lawyers, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Ruthie C. and I am joined this morning by Mr. Terrence A. Gross. Good morning, Terrence. How are you?
Good morning. I live in Gulf Breeze. I'm a little traumatized, so I'm here. I've been getting my boats and furniture. I think we're going to be okay with this storm, but I'm just kind of hurricaned out this season. Like, I think I'm ready for 2020 to move on. It's not been the greatest year for everybody.
Boy, I can relate to that statement. I think hurricane fatigue is kind of where we're all sitting right now. I agree.
But as usual, I come prepared with personal injury topics. I think most people know I've been here for some time. In fact, I just celebrated this week my 41st year anniversary of being a lawyer here in the greater Northwest Florida. And I thought what I would do is try to give everybody just some advice as what to do after an accident. And there's different things you do depending what the accident is. Is it a car wreck? Is it a slip fall? Or maybe even a dog bite? So I'm going to break it down. So we'll start with a car wreck. They're more common. Probably 90% of what we do are car wrecks because there's more car wrecks than slip falls or dog bites. And, you know, we could always say that hindsight is 20/20, but with technology, things have changed to make it easier. But I would tell you this, if you're in an accident, a lot of times people stop briefly. It's very common that maybe someone that was right behind you, whatever, stops. Are you okay? Yes, I'm okay. And they move on and they're gone. Well, by the time the patrolman gets there, which could be 20, 30, 40 minutes later, maybe the defendant's now saying you did this, you did that, you changed lanes, or you didn't put your blinker on or something. And what was a wide open, open and shut case is now got some problems. Wouldn't you like to have that eyewitness? So I would say anybody that's there, try to get their name and number, try to get their business card, whatever it may be. Let them move on, because most people aren't just a good Samaritan's not going to sit around for 40 minutes waiting for a cop to come just to say their piece. But if you've got their card, you can not only give it to the policeman, who will probably call and use it when forming an accident report, but you keep it for yourself should you need it, especially with a lawyer. A lot of times people are shaken up. You're not ready. You're kind of dazed. You're kind of dull. Your adrenaline's going. But I can't tell you how many times, Ruthie, I've heard this, that at the time of the accident, I really didn't hurt. They told the police officer they were not hurt. They declined an ambulance, and yet the next morning they couldn't get out of bed. I've heard that so many times. So even if you don't think you're injured, why not get the names of any witnesses? Why not take pictures of the cars before they're moved? Because sometimes after the move, the defendant can say, you came out of this, you did this, or whatever. I would take pictures for the damage and before they're actually moved, if you can safely do that. And it just depends on the case. I mean, if you're severely injured, some people are totally incapacitated and they're waiting for the ambulance to tow them away. Well, you can't do much. But it's just these are things that would help. I tell you what we've been doing with great luck. And sometimes, you know, you get these cases where someone says, well, I had the green light. And the other person says, well, I had the green light. Well, what we've been doing, if we're retained early enough, if it happened at an intersection, maybe there's a 7-Eleven, maybe there's a Junior Food or a gas station or something, they may have surveillance. They may have surveillance that accidentally caught the accident. And then we go and get that tape. And we review it, and we've had, I'd say, a handful of cases that have actually turned the cases totally around because the surveillance actually captured the accident. and confirm that our client was innocent and that our client was telling the truth. These are things that we could do. I'll tell you something that's also relatively new. I think we all know, we've heard for decades about black boxes in airplanes. An airplane goes down, the first thing you hear is, well, we're going to look at the black box. Well, we have them in cars now. Most people may know that. Maybe you don't. So I have a recent case where I had a Crestview sheriff's deputy. He's off duty in his own personal car. He's going through Mobile on Interstate 10, and he sees cars stop, so he's coming to a natural slow stop, he said. He had just stopped when he was hit at a high rate of speed and pushed into the car in front of him. Well, meanwhile, one of the insurance companies is saying, no, we think your guy hit somebody first and then got rear-ended, so he's partially at fault. Well, my guy denied this, so what we did was do a black box download, and I went out there. We went to a wrecker yard, you know, about 15 miles out of Mobile, and you wouldn't believe how many cars were there, but we go there. The technicians download it. There was an expert there, and the expert says, I can look at this data. You see this? This shows your client was wearing a seatbelt. You see this? It shows your client was going to 22 miles an hour all the way down to a complete stop. He was stopped for 1.8 seconds, and then you can see he's catapulted into the car in front of him. His speed actually went from a dead stop to 20 miles an hour. That shows you how hard he was hit, that the car took his car from 0 to 20 just by being hit. So it also would show the injuries. That, you know, that's a heck of a whiplash. The G-forces would be pretty significant. So that was the expert that gave us that information. So now there's a case that years ago, without the black box, I'd be in a courtroom arguing to six strangers about we didn't hit them, and the jury is trying to figure out who's more credible. And now it's just open and shut case. There's not going to be any contest because the black box can't lie and it has all the data. It's pretty interesting.
Wow. Yeah, I did not know that. I had, of course, like you mentioned, heard about them on the airplanes, but did not realize that. That certainly expedites the process, doesn't it?
Yeah. So and so we're doing more of that that is helpful. And, you know, so it just, you know, it's sort of hit and miss, but you just never know. So I would say trying to and you should be checked out. So if you feel any kind of dull ache, a headache or whatever, you should be checked out for a lot of reasons. Number one, Florida's no-fault law says if you don't treat with any doctor or a chiropractor within 14 days, that you've waived your no-fault. And I've had people wait 15, 16, 18 days, and now it dawns on them that it's not going away, and they've lost their $10,000 of medical bills through their no-fault. So you should be checked out right away anyway, just to make sure. They may do an x-ray. Yeah, I've had so many people that just felt, you know, vague injuries, vague pain right after, and then all of a sudden just comes on and gets worse and worse and worse. And I've had some people actually end up in surgery where right after the accident, they didn't hurt that bad. It's worth being checked out, whether it's an ER, doc in the box, chiropractor, or whoever. So those are, you know, words of wisdom. Do not give recorded statements to the insurance companies, to either yours or theirs. They make it sound like you have to. You do not have to give a recorded statement. They make it sound, well, we're not going to pay for your car damage unless you give us a recorded statement. So I'll talk to you. I'll cooperate, but I am not giving a recorded statement. And under Florida law, they can't record any conversation without your knowledge and consent. So I would just be very careful about that, because what they're doing is hoping to trip you up. Maybe 3 years later, you're in the courtroom, and now they're playing this tape of whatever you told them way back when, and so forth. So I'd just be very hesitant to do that. So you should write down claim numbers, you and whatever, but I don't know why people also don't talk to lawyers. I mean, maybe they're scared of lawyers. I think the lawyers can charge. Every personal injury lawyer has a free consultation. I've never heard of a personal injury lawyer that charges for a consultation. So why not know your rights? And if you don't like what the lawyer says, or you think, yeah, this lawyer, I wasn't too impressed, get a second opinion. So I think these are things to think about. Just, you know, and because what you, there's so many forks in the road, and I've had a lot of intelligent people, very intelligent, that try to handle the case themselves for 6 or 8 months. Then they come into me, and they've just made a lot of mistakes. You know, they've signed releases with the insurance companies. They've given recorded statements. Now we got a contested liability case. Of course, that surveillance at the store has been erased. It's long gone. Things that I could have done, and I usually tell them, or maybe they went to Darth Vader. Maybe their next-door neighbor said, go to this doctor. He's great. Well, he may be great, but what if that doctor thinks everybody's faking for money? He's a great surgeon. He's an orthopedist, maybe, and a great surgeon, but he thinks everybody's faking for money and he hates lawyers. Well, that's not going to go well for your case. So I just think talking to a lawyer, the sooner you can, the better. And I just don't know why people don't do it, especially since it's a free consultation. So that's pretty much it for car accidents. If someone wants to call in the show or text us, how could they do that, Ruthie?
Absolutely, yeah. If you have a question or would like to find out some more information, you can call or text 850-437-1620. We'd be happy to answer it for you.
Good, good. And we sometimes get callers. Now, let's talk about slip falls. Now, slip falls, you know, people think slip falls, you can't get hurt. But I'm just telling you, if you're standing straight up and your feet go out from under you, and you land on your buttocks and you're dropping 3 feet, you are compressing that disc. I've seen people end up in surgery. I've seen knee surgeries. I've seen back surgeries, all from slip falls. So this whole myth of, and then how can you get hurt? And I know there's a couple of things that happen. So here you are in a grocery store. You're walking through the vegetable section or whatever, and all of a sudden you go down. You just go down. Well, first of all, you're probably embarrassed. You're sitting on the floor. Nobody's looking at you. You may be in some pain. But the odds are you probably have witnesses. There's probably somebody in your vicinity that saw whatever. You need those names and whatever. Even more importantly than a car wreck, because there's not going to be like some highway patrolman coming in to investigate. And once those people leave and check out, you'll never know who they are. And then meanwhile, the store will say, well, we didn't do that. We didn't have this or whatever. And just, you know, if you can get your camera, if you got your wits about you, it would be nice. But a lot of times you're so embarrassed, you're on your bottom, you're sitting there sprawled out on the floor, and you're just really embarrassed that you're there and people are looking at you. Later on, again, 2 or 3 years in the courtroom, and it's your burden. You got to prove, what did you fall in? Where did it come from? All these questions, it's your burden, and that may not be so easy, especially without witnesses, and it's your say-so against the store saying, well, there was no water there. And you say, yes, there was. My pants were wet. Well, prove it. Well, all you could do is hear your testimony. So that would be the most key important thing, once again, being checked out as soon as possible, if you could. Now, on dog bites, we do probably more dog bites than any law firm in the panhandle. And dog bites are inherently different than either a slip fall or a car accident. So the car accident, we know that usually a highway patrolman or maybe a city policeman is going to investigate. So somebody's going to come in, a neutral third party is going to come in and do some type of investigation. It may be a good investigation. It may not be a good investigation, but they're going to do something, and there'll be a written document, an accident report. Meanwhile, if you have a slip fall, normally the managers of the store will do their own internal accident report. They may not want to share it with anybody, but they have an internal report, so there is something there. And some of them are actually trained not to put witnesses' names now. They're actually told by their employers, please don't include witnesses because we don't want to create witnesses against us possibly. So, but with a dog bite, I would say the first thing you need to do is call animal control. Absolutely, for a lot of reasons. I mean, they're going to check into the dog, make sure the dog had its shots and whether or not you need rabies or shots or not or whatever it may be. So it should always be reported to animal control. Then there's a formal report you know, it shows the date, the people's name, their address, maybe the dog's name or a description of the dog. And it just helps a lawyer greatly down the road. Now, another difference between a dog bite case and a car wreck is this. So any of us that have ever been in a car wreck, we know the drill, don't we? The officer comes up and let me see your license, your registration, your insurance. We always know it's those three, you give it. So it means on the accident report as a lawyer, if I go to check out the defendant that hit you, I'm going to have hit the name of his insurance company on the accident report and a policy number. Very easy for me to contact that insurance carrier and deal directly with them. Now, on a dog bite, animal control people, they don't care if the person had insurance. They're not thinking. They're not lawyers. So you never see the homeowner's insurance coverage company on the animal control report. So how do we find out there's insurance? There's only one way, and it's not fun. So what we have to do as lawyers, we actually have to reach out and contact the dog owner and get that information from them. And you can imagine some people aren't happy about a lawyer contacting them and could be rude or hang up or whatever. I try calling sometimes. Sometimes I just write a very nice letter. The letter just says, look, I don't want to harass you. I don't want to bother you. I want to deal directly with your insurance company. But if you don't cooperate, you may force me to take more drastic action. And I think everybody knows what that means. It's a veiled threat, of course, but it means I may have to sue you. And I've done that. I've had people that have taken my letters, thrown it in the trash can, and then I have to end up suing just to see if they've got insurance, which is silly. But a lot of times it's your neighbors. You know, it's usually a dog from the neighborhood. So then you got all these dynamics that are going on because, you know, there could be some ill will. I had a case here in Gulf Breeze where a young girl got bit by a dog that the people allowed to always roam in the front yard. And this girl was walking her own dog by the front yard and ended up getting bit. And the dog owner was actually a local doctor. And I just called up. I wasn't threatening or anything, just to get insurance. And boy, they lit into me like you would not believe. And I was just trying to say, we were just trying to make a claim. And she was arguing this. I said, ma'am, I just need to know the name of your insurance company and all that. And I gave my name and number. I said, if you want them to call me, and that's what happened. She had her company call me in. So I'm just dealing with the company. I'm not bothering that doctor again. And hopefully the case will be resolved. So a dog bites, like everything else, you need pictures right away. I've had more and more people come in and say, you know, they come in about 2 months after the dog bite. And I say, oh, you should have seen it right afterwards. It was oozing. It was purple and whatever. I said, you got pictures? No. So now we have a faint scar and whatever. So the more pictures we have assumed that are after, because a picture's worth 1,000 words. So that's why it's so important to take these pictures. Once again, I don't know why people don't consult with a lawyer as soon as possible. And there could be witnesses, too, trying to run down various witnesses. And we try to do that just to see what's what. Sometimes, you know, there was a case actually in Escambia County that went to trial about 5 years ago. It wasn't my case. It was another lawyer. But what had happened was I think somebody got on the property for some reason. It could have been a workman or somebody was there on the property and the dog attacked them. And at trial, they were trying to say, we have beware of dog signs. They shouldn't have been on our property, whatever. And they called in the next door neighbor who testified that the beware for dog signs were put up after the dog bite. He says they were not there before, I'm positive. So the next door neighbor ratted them out. They were trying to argue, you know, that they had beware of bad dog. So I will tell you this, a lot of people wrongly believe that they put up a bad dog sign or beware of dog signs, that they're therefore insulated, that they're therefore immune from liability, and that's not the case. It could help you depending, you know, if there's a burglar that jumps over the fence, of course, I don't think the burglar is going to be able to have a successful case if the burglar is mauled. But again, there's certain people that you invite on your premises. You may have a lawn service. Well, they're invited. I mean, how do I take care of your yard without being in or on your yard? I mean, so it's kind of silly. I've had lots of workmen. I had a gentleman call. I forget what kind of he was. I think a pest service. So he's called to the premises to have, you know, because they have termites or whatever they had. So he's going there for an application, rings the bell. The lady cracks the door, and the dog somehow gets out and actually bit the worker in his groin. That was the case.
Uh-oh.
And then they were trying to say, well, we had a bad dog sign posted on the front gate. Well, duh, but you called the guy to your premises to work at your house. I mean, it's just common sense. But so I think it just every case is going to twist on its facts. But what you could do, again, witnesses are always important. Pictures are always important. You don't want to give recorded statements to the adverse people. So these are just things I've learned over time. How much time do we still have left in the program?
We've got about 3.5 minutes left, and we do have a text question that came in. And this person says, yeah, this person says, I was a victim of a hit and run accident August 28th, 2020. Is it too late to call your office?
And the answer is not at all. So August 20, 2020 is, you know, it's a couple of months, but no, we could absolutely give advice to that type of person. That's not that long ago. That's 2 months ago. So, yeah, Florida's got a four-year statute of limitations, so that means you have to sue with them for it. But if you called us 3 years after a hit and run and, you know, whatever, that's a hard, hard paper trail to run down. But 2 months is not bad at all. So no, I think the person should contact us. And I am, my name is Terrence Gross. Our phone number is 434-3333. Our intake person, if you were to call, we have Tim, who's a paralegal. He does most of our intakes. He interviews you for about 20 minutes for free. Then they're set for an appointment with one of the lawyers. I'm in practice with my two sons, my son-in-law, and also my law partner, Charlie Schuster. So there's five of us. We have five offices. We have Pensacola, Milton, Crestview, Fort Walton, and Navarre. And so we're very available. With COVID, we do a lot of telephonic interviews right now. If some people want to meet us, then we will meet. We wear masks and all that and are appropriate. But some people, we actually have DocuSign. I have clients right now that I haven't even met yet, because I interviewed on my phone. We did an electronic signature. If you want to find out more about us, the best way to do it would be to go on the web, grossandschuster.com. We have a 64-page website. You'll see we have information about dog bites, car wrecks. All the things we're talking about is on our website. You could also look at our reviews. There's a lot of these advertising lawyers. They got billboards. They're on the TV every minute or two, but then when you look at the reviews, they're not really stellar. So I'm proud to say that we were rated 5.0, and that our clients' testimonials speak for themselves. So I think anybody listening should call us. This lady, whoever it was that talked about the hit and run, if it's a hit and run and we can't figure out who it was that hit you, you still have the case, and it's called an uninsured motorist case. We could bring a claim against your company for uninsured motorist. I think we're running out of time. I want to thank everybody for listening. Call us at 434-3333.